You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC 293. We're back in Australia, mate. We return after 284 in February. I mean, we're back just seven short months later. It's good to be back down under. Jed, how we feeling, brother?
I'd be feeling a lot better if this card was better.
I mean, right off the bat, we got to bring us down here. I mean, come on.
I'm bringing the negativity.
We got Tatu Ivasa, we got Israel Adesanya, we got the Pleasure Man. We got Carlos Olberg into the Pleasure Man. I mean, if you're ever going to get your girlfriend to sit down and watch a card with you, this is the one to do it. I think they're doing that on purpose. I think they're ending the prelims. The featured prelims is Carlos Olberg straight into opening the pay-per-view with the Pleasure Man.
Ladies' night into the Pleasure Man is
quite the one-two combo.
I didn't even think of that. So well,
million
done.
Buys, million
well done
buys
for you. Well done for you, Connor. Yeah, I mean, this is a fight night card masquerading as a pay per view.
I saw a meme where it was where it took Israel Adesanya off of the card, and it was like, this could potentially be at the apex. Like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. If you took Israel Adesanya off the card, it could be at the apex.
I mean, if you took Izzy off the card, I think that this would just be, you know, this would be a Perth card. You know, this would just not be a big pay-per-view. Just, you know, it's just their roadshow, which is fine. But, and I shouldn't be negative because we had a lot of hits during the summer. So they can't all be winners.
We also got quite a few hits coming this fall. I mean, the next two pay-per-views after this are nice.
Yeah. So, you know, there's going to be a stinker in there every once in a while. And, this one is it. So, but like, honestly, as we get in, we're going to get into this card, Connor. I have more bets than I should. And up front, I always tell you, never follow me or listen to me. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I just went reaching because like half of these fights are just massive favorites or whatever. Yeah. It's just some of the times you get something like this, that there can at least be competitive bouts. I'm like, oh, that might be like a competitive, meaningful, fun. This is largely, hey, let's get, you know, the hometown. Not even really the hometown, because New Zealand and Australia aren't the same place, but like, let's get the Oceania fighters a dub in front of this Aussie crowd. So it'll be an interesting episode. I want to see if you have different thoughts than I do on most of these squashes.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say. UFC Paris, kind of the similar fashion. Favorite sweep, which, I mean, you know that's going to be a good card for me.
That was incredible.
I mean, I'm a square, chalk-eating donkey loser. So, I mean, I ate. I mean, it was a great card for me. Only thing that killed me was Volkan by KO, and he got the club.
Yeah,
so
that was brutal.
I'm going to be honest with the listeners, man. That one hurt. That was a tough pill to swallow. And it wasn't like a like an anger or anything. Like, you're not like, it's not one of those just like frustrating pull your hair out bets. It's just kind of like when it happened, like I'm like screaming. I'm like, no, not the sub, not the sub. And like when I realized it was done, like I just like fell back in my seat in disbelief. Like I was like, I'm speechless right now. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, I can, because we talked about it. We're like, he has one. He has one in his career, and it happened a billion years ago. That could never be us. Could never happen again.
Never.
We tempted the fates, and that's what happens.
These plus money plays that, like, I always go for. Like, the amount of times that they've just been so close. Zhang by sub, plus 600. I mean, had her back, I think, three times throughout the fight. I was on KO and round one, plus 305 for Volkan. I mean, the Ryan Spann had the gilly twice in that first round in the Krylov fight. Like, it's just like, and listen, I'll give it credit where credit is due. It gets the heart beating. It definitely gets the heart beating. Like, when he caught Guskov in the first round, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be it. Like, we're finally going to hit one of these big plus money plays. We're going to get them both two in the first round. Wasn't meant to be. Still had a good night, though. Still had a good night.
Yeah, I had a small winning night. I took a couple of underdogs, and as you astutely pointed out, none of those won. Underdogs winning. But we managed to pull it out with a couple of other bets. Nothing major. Unit and some change. So grinding.
I mean, that's what you got to do. Yeah, I mean, that's better than a losing night, and it's only a matter of time before we have a big winning week.
I think that there's a real chance that I'm going to have a losing night this week.
Wow. Wow. Going into it.
I was just like, I don't know. I took some reaches. And, you know, because it's like, I can look at this card and see, okay, I could just be a chalk donkey and just be like, let's just take all these favorites and parlay them up. And don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, I do have a chalk donkey parlay. But the rest was like, all right, let's try and, you know, let's seek the value. Let's find some tighter lines. And I can just see a couple of these being like, oh, you called KO round one, eh? Nope. We made it to round two. And then there's a loser, and just adding those up very quickly. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, let's dive right in. UFC 293. The promotion returns to Sydney this time around. And we have the middleweight championship on the line. Israel Adesanya taking on Sean Strickland, you know, kind of a odd circumstance surrounding the fight. Obviously, DDP not available to turn around as quickly as he did from the 290 card. So Sean Strickland steps in, and right now you can have Israel Adesanya for the short price tag of minus 650. Sean Strickland coming back at plus 470. You teased last week you might be talking yourself into Sean Strickland. Have you fully gotten there?
No, I didn't get there. I want to be clear. I wasn't talking myself into Sean Strickland because I think I see something in the tape or that this is a, you know, he can surprise people. It was purely a, man, it'd be pretty funny if Sean Strickland won. It might
not
be.
You're 2-for-2 in funny bets. Like DDP and Sean O'Malley, you're 2-0.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I kind of like, but so you got to know when you're flying too close to the sun, you know, and this, I think that this would be me, at least in those ones, I could see how it happened. Like there was a story I could tell myself. In this one, the story I can tell myself is Izzy rolls his ankle, like stepping into the
banana
cage
peel.
Or something. Like, yeah, like it's an actual thing, because the thing that really sold me, I might've just been able to pull the trigger on it, except for like this week. Strickland's own coaching staff comes out and is like, yeah, this is a really bad matchup for us on paper. And like, okay, so I'm not even sure y'all believe he can do this. Like, I have to write a piece for the website, for MMAfighting.com, great website this week, you know, outlining like how Sean Strickland can win. And I got to tell you, leg kicks is all I got. And that's not even like a winning method for him. That's just a way he can score some. So I'm a bit torn on whether Izzy looks like tremendous in this fight. You know, whether this could be Paulo Costa. This could be Jared Cannonier. Like, I could see it being either of those two fights from Izzy. I lean slightly more towards the Paulo Costa, but Izzy's not Alex Pereira. He is not going to just like one hitter obliterate Sean Strickland like Pereira did. So I think that this is going to be a little bit more flashy Izzy, you know, having some fun in there, maybe gets a KO, TKO late, but I don't think it's going to go early. I've taken Izzy as a parlay piece. I'm a big chalky parlay. And bet's not up yet, but I'm going to take Izzy by points because this is either a 50-45 or a TKO finish. So that's where I'm at on this.
Yeah, so right now you're looking at around like a plus 120 to plus 130 range for Adesanya wins by decision. That's kind of the tricky part. And then Adesanya wins by KO, TKO, plus 115. So, like, you're kind of just, like, choosing the battle you want to go with there. And I'm sort of with you. So I don't know if
points,
it,
baby.
I don't know if it looks like the Paulo Costa fight. I don't know if it looks like the Jared Cannonier fight. Neither would surprise me. Like, But when you come down and you break down the matchup, yeah, I mean, it just isn't a favorable matchup here for Sean Strickland. Like, if they stand and strike for 25 minutes, Izzy is almost positively going to win that fight. Like, and then if he goes to the wrestling, like, one, I have no idea if he's going to do that. I mean, he didn't do it with Alex Pereira. He says he would stand and strike again with Alex Pereira. Like, he, you know, is just down to get in there and rumble. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just stays standing for 25 minutes. Does he have the power to knock Izzy out? I mean, he doesn't have like the clean one hit KO power like Alex Pereira does. So I just doubt he's going to knock Israel Adesanya out. If he goes to the grappling, like, does he even have the chops to like score three rounds using the grappling? Like, it's not like Israel Adesanya is a complete fish out of water. Like, he has solid takedown defense. He has a good get up game. Over like the amount of time he spent in the UFC, we've really only seen like what Marvin Vettori and Jan Blachowicz up a weight class really have success going to the wrestling against Israel Adesanya. And then, I mean, when you just talk about the wealth of experience between these guys, like, Adesanya has fought the best of the best time and time again. Sean Strickland, when he gets into that contendership realm, Alex Pereira knocked out in the first round, Jared Cannonier, very close split decision that he ended up losing. Like, I was asking someone else earlier this week, like, who's the best win for Sean Strickland at 185? Jack Hermansson?
Ooh, this is a good question. Well, I mean, the obvious answer is Abus, because that's what got him the title shot here. You know?
Yeah, I guess, but like, do we even know anything about Abus to like confirm his best one?
No, that was just me cracking lies about how that goes. I think his best win is Uriah Hall.
Okay,
Uriah, because that was Uriah Hall at the time. Like, when Uriah Hall may have finally figured it out. He was on that big winning streak. He had beaten Anderson Silva. The Weidman injury situation, obviously weird, but it looked for a minute like Uriah Hall might finally be putting the pieces together. So in the context of that, I think it's Uriah Hall. If you're just looking at like who's the best fighter he's ever beaten, it probably is Jack Hermansson. So yeah, it's one of those two dudes. I will say the Brendan Allen win is aging tremendously.
Yeah. I did see that. I was like, oh yeah, that looks nice now.
Yeah, it's aging really well.
But yeah, man, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's Ann Still on Saturday. I think Izzy gets it done, maybe late finish. I think I'm with you. I think I lean points, but I'm just going to use them as an anchor in a couple parlays, which is also clutch. If you start getting some jitters, if you start getting nervous about the money line, if you have them anchored throughout and your parlays make it to the main event, I mean, just like Valentina, easy hedge out spot, because I'm not going to be surprised if Sean Strickland is plus 500 come fight time. I imagine most people that are just casually betting this, casually watching, throw lob old Adesanya in their parlay. So I imagine the line's going to move a little bit more. But yeah, I think this is going to be Ant still. And then we move on, and then it's the DDP matchup, and we can get really excited about that.
I mean, is it? Is it?
I know now Dana's coming out, and he's just like, yeah, I don't like when people don't take fights. So
It would be really dumb, but, you know, Khamzat gets a dub over Paulo Costa.
Fuck.
maybe
if it was going to happen in any sport. If it was going to happen in any sport, it would be this one.
It would. I don't like it when guys take fights. You're the jackass who set him to fight 2 months before. What'd you think was going to happen?
It's against nonsense. An absolute dog in Robert Whittaker.
What'd you think was going to happen?
That fight went about as good as it could go for DDP. And, like, it still was a bit of a battle, like, went into the second round and everything. Like, that's as good as it. Like, that could have ended up being.
Still 2 month turnaround for a professional fighter.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that could have also ended up being, like, a just, like, dog out war that DDP wins, like, a split decision by. Like, it could have been much worse for DDP's camp.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say about this fight is this is maybe the best example I've ever seen of how stats in MMA just aren't there yet. Because if you look at the stats on this fight, Sean Strickland is ahead in almost every category, which is wild. And he has no chance to win. And statistically, he should dominate this bout. So,
what one last thing I do have to say is you always talk about it with the greatest champions. Just how defensively sound Adesanya is I think, is going to play a huge factor in this fight.
Statistically, Sean Strickland better defensively on the feet. Incredible. But yeah, I mean, Strickland just can't generate real offense in this fight. It's really tough to win when you don't have a viable path to offense.
Listen, if Strickland pulls this off, the hilarity continues. Because I'm an Adesanya fan. Like, he's, you know, I always openly admit I am a newer fan to the MMA scene. Adesanya was one of the first guys that, like, really got me into it. But God, it would be absolute insanity if Sean Strickland gets the belt put around his waist on Saturday night.
It would be the best. I would enjoy it a tremendous amount.
I'd have a hard time not enjoying it because it would just be so ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I am rooting for Sean Strickland to win by hook or by crook. Like, I simply do not care how it happens, and it will blow up my parlay and probably cost me a decent chunk of money. I want it to happen because the humor is the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, 2023 will go down as, like, the most ridiculous,
the funniest year. Just the funniest
in
MMA
history.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, let's keep it rolling to the co-main event heavyweight bout. Tai Tuivasa fighting in his home country, fighting in Sydney, taking on Alexander Volkov right now. Volkov, the big favorite. You can get him for the price of -250. Tuivasa coming back at +205. I got a fever, Jed. I got a fever.
Do you?
And the cure is a Tai Tuivasa knockout.
I mean, we've been doing this for well over a year now, like 60 some odd episodes. I had a feeling. I suspected.
I got a fever, and the cure is a Tai Tuivasa knockout. Took it against Sergey Pavlovich, got made to look silly. We'll be going right back to the well against Volkov. If I get made to look silly, I am completely okay with that. Half unit, +295. Nice little payout if it happens. But there is no way, Jed. There is absolutely no way in hell I am parlaying up Volkov, doing whatever with Volkov, and then sitting there on Saturday night, if Tai Tuivasa does get a knockout in front of the home Australian crowd, gets up on that fence and does a shoey over my dead betting body, I will not stand for that. In my opinion, the KO is live. I mean, his last two opponents were incredibly tough opponents, Ciryl Gane and Sergey Pavlovich. I mean, going into that Ciryl Gane fight, we were kind of sitting there like, wow, like Tai Tuivasa just kind of shot up the ranks here. He's now a top five heavyweight. And if he beats Ciryl Gane, like, you have to begin the discussion about him getting a title shot at this point. Obviously, neither of those fights go his way. Almost feels like Volkov is a step back. Now, I understand the problems that are presented here. Massive size advantage, like, fights smart. Like, we've seen him against the best of the best in the heavyweight division. And he's been knocked out once, like, in the last 10 years of his career. And it was by Derek Lewis, like, essentially at the bell. I understand all that. Tuivasa's got a brick head. He can cut off the range, get inside, and knock him out. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm hoping for.
I think that's reasonable. He's Volkov plods. He's not Ciryl Gane. He can't, you know, just Toreador his way around and not allow Tuivasa to get his shots off. And I mean, hell, Tuivasa even almost managed to pull it off against Gane.
Have you seen the flow Tuivasa's got too? I hate to interrupt, but like, that's something that has to factor into this. He's growing out the lettuce a little bit, and it looks five stars. It looks just fantastic.
Interesting. I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to think of other times people grew out the flow and I was like, that makes you better, because I distinctly remember Frankie Edgar growing out the flow and getting obliterated, and it was a tough scene. So
I mean, if you just listen, I'm not talking about it's down to his shoulders, but he's got a nice head of hair on him right now. Like, if you just go and look at his latest Instagram post, there's some sort of like foggy edit. Like, he looks like a model. Like, it just looks so good, man.
I'll pull this up while I give you my official breakdown. Yeah, please. Got a little bit of lettuce going on there. So I think that this is totally reasonable. I'm on Tai Tuivasa, the underdog. I'm not taking the KO prop because it was smart. Only like 50 extra points. And even though Tai Tuivasa has one win that isn't by KO, do you happen to know who that is?
That was a decision against Andrei Arlovsky.
It's absolutely true. It's the weirdest thing that Andrei Arlovsky was the dude he couldn't put away.
Yeah.
So I think by far the most likely outcome if Tuivasa wins is the knockout, but wasn't getting a lot of extra points, and it's just easier. So
smart.
I'll be honest. I think a lot of my head says that Volkov probably should win this. He's looked really great, shown great form his last couple outings. Like you said, really durable. He's got the length. He's upped his offense, which is important. But Tuivasa, really durable. I'm not taking anything away from him getting knocked out by Sergei Pavlovich, because apparently Sergei Pavlovich could knock out a hippo if you let him punch it. That just seems to be what that man's hands are made of. So I think that this is very live, and I'd be lying if I said I knew you'd be on Tuivasa. Was I not going to support you? Am I going to go against you with Volkov? Like, you, I mean, that would be bad. That'd be bad friendship.
If you're on Volkov this week, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, yeah, you might win. I mean, the odds say it's much more likely that you do win, but the fun bet.
How are you going to feel about yourself, though, you know?
Oh, my gosh. If Tai Tuivasa wins and you're on Volkov, you are just going to be sitting in just shit stew. Like, you're just going to hate it. You're going to everyone's going to be having so much fun. He's going to jump up on the cage. He's going to crush a shoey. We're going to get a great post-fight interview. It's going to be fantastic. And you're just going to be sitting there just like, why? Why did I bet on Volkov? Or Volkov wins, you know, the non-fun route.
The non-fun route. I will also say, I don't recommend this, but I doubled up on Ty because I also have him in a two-leg parlay that no one should follow on.
You parlayed up Ty?
Sure did. It's a gimmick parlay, but it had to be done.
Okay, all right, yeah. Listen, I understand. I mean, it did. It had to be done. Heavyweight overs.
Oh, no, those are dead.
Oh,
those officially died in Paris,
rest
France.
In
2023,
rest
Paris, France, Cyril gone.
Wow.
I thought for a shining moment that there was a chance because the fight was clearly not going to go Sergei's way, but I thought maybe Gon might not put the hammer down, and then he just started doing that like weird standing,
like an actual hammer down.
Yeah, like an actual like chipping with an ice pick, and was like, well, there it goes. So heavyweight overs, rest in peace. January 1st, whatever the first event of the year, 2023 to September, whatever this was, September 4th?
3rd? Listen, man, I guess flyweight, I guess heavyweight, flyweight unders can't exist without heavyweight overs. Same thing, vice versa. It's like the couple, the elderly couple that when like the husband dies,
it really is.
The wife dies 6 months
broken
later.
Broken heart syndrome.
Just can't live the broken heart. You can't.
Heavyweight overs were doing great until flyweight unders died. And then fell off a cliff. ChatGPT killing it though. 10-5.
Shout out to the robots. Do we have one on this card?
We do. We have one on this card. Maybe next week. It depends. I have a new gimmick bet that I'll be employing.
Yes.
Not this week, but I've to replace heavyweight overs. I have been crunching the numbers. It's a science. You know, I want to see what the science says. So science seems to believe in the robots. We'll see what else science believes in next week.
We are all anxiously awaiting the reveal of the next gimmick. Let's keep it rolling. Still on the main card, men's flyweight belt bout. Manel Kopp taking on Felipe Dos Santos, stepping in on short notice for Kai Kara France. Right now, you can have Manel Kopp for -410. Felipe Dos Santos coming back at +320. I mean, this is a tough ask for Felipe Dos Santos.
Like, it is.
He's had 7 pro fights, one of them being in LFA.
He's also a child.
I was going to say he's 22 years old. Now he's being asked to fly across the entire world on 3 weeks' notice. And here you go. Congrats. Your prize is an absolute killer in Manel Kopp. Like, the dude is just going back and watching some of the tape. Like, he, for a flyweight, man, this dude is violent. Finished 16 of his 18 wins. And then when you just look at like his resume, when he was in Ryzen, like fought the best of the best over there. Like, even if you just look at the dude's losses, like, he made his UFC debut against now champion Alejandro Pantoja, Mateus Nicolau, who's number 6 in the division right now.
Also when he was splitty.
And when he was in Ryzen, lost to Kyoji Horiguchi, Kai Asakura, who he later avenged that loss. Like, dude has fought the best of the best. And now, like, it kind of feels like he's pretty mad. Like, everyone just keeps dropping out on dude. Like, he is just ready to get in the octagon and earn his title shot. Like, I think he wants another shot at Alejandro Pantoja. And now You're giving him a shootbox guy who, like, I feel like is just going to be super game, but I just don't feel like his game is there yet. And I just feel like they're going to go at it, and Manel Kopp is likely to finish Felipe Dos Santos.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, so I've got him in the parlay with Adesanya and one more leg because I believe in it. I will say this is the piece that feels the most dangerous because Kopp has stumbled occasionally. It's coming against really, really good opposition, but things can get a little wonky at flyweight, particularly, you know, the other side of everything you just said here is, well, yes, Manel Kopp, enormous step up in competition for Felipe Dos Santos, et cetera. Huge opportunity. 22 years old, can jump right into the top 10 with a dub here. It's insane. I don't think it's going to happen. I really like Kopp. I've liked Kopp since back in Ryzen, and I think he's one of the best guys in the world, and he's just had a string of bad luck. A couple of odd performances, a split decision that, you know, this is a split decision. And then he just hasn't had the opportunity to fight dudes. Like, his resume right now, the last, like, couple of years. I mean, just think about Manel Kopp's place right now. Comes off the David Dvorak win, which is a fine. That's, I think Dvorak's ranked in the UFC. Supposed to get Alex Perez, who's a top 10 guy. Perez falls out. Supposed to get Davison Figueiredo, who's former champion. You know, if he beats Figgy, he's probably getting a title shot.
Oh, for sure.
Figgy falls out. Supposed to get Kai Kara France, just fought for a title. Well, you know, if he beats Kai Kara France, he's probably getting a title shot. Kai Kara France falls out, and it's and now it's here. So he just can't seem to catch a break, and he's going to take all that energy out on poor Felipe Dos Santos. So,
I mean, just go back 3 years. Like, was supposed to fight Rogerio Bontorin. Bontorin pulls out. Was supposed to fight Alejandro Pantoja. Pantoja pulls out. Was supposed to fight Suma Darji. Kopp actually had to pull out of that one. Was supposed to fight Rogerio Bontorin again. Bontorin pulled out. Like, the dude has had
a tough run.
Six opponents pull out in the last 3 years, and all of them would, had he won, would have gotten him significantly closer to a title shot.
And like half of them would have just gotten him a title shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it is unfortunate. So excited to see him back.
Are you betting him?
Oh, yeah. 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 I got him in a parlay piece and I have him inside the distance.
What's that inside the distance number at?
I got him
to KO. It was like minus 150.
Oh, wow. Wow. I got this one at minus 115. I mean, yeah, I'm seeing minus 170. So the line has moved a lot. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I felt pretty good in that when I was placing the bet. Still feel pretty good about it now. I guess, like, worst case scenario is, like, Felipe Dos Santos is just, like, disgustingly tough.
Could be real durable. Who knows?
Yeah. Or he pulls off the magic and he just absolutely skyrockets his career.
If that happens, I'll go on the record right now. Felipe Dos Santos pulls off the magic, something screwy is going on, and we'll be betting Sean Strickland. My parlay will already be dead with Izzy, and so then we'll be betting Sean Strickland.
I like that. I like that. All right, let's keep it rolling. Main card, heavyweight bout. Justin Taffa taking on Austin Lane. Right now, you can have Taffa for minus 218. Austin Lane coming back at plus 180. I don't know how you feel about the side. I'm not playing a side in this one, just like a wildly volatile matchup. We broke it down a couple months ago. To me, this is just a get or get got matchup. I mean, you saw how they came out before the eye poke. I know it was only for like 45 seconds, but I think this is just two big old dudes getting in there to chuck them. I mean, both of them have only ever won by KO. Neither has ever completed a takedown in the UFC. I mean, they've both been knocked out. If you look at the numbers, Austin Lane, 13 of 15 under the 1.5. Taffa, 6 of 9 under the 1.5. They have 17 combined first round finishes in their careers. Even if you go back to their amateur careers, 6 amateur fights, all ending by knockout. This just feels like two heavyweights going in there and just throwing them. Someone's getting dropped. I'm on the under 1.5. And the instead of fight doesn't go to a decision, I took fight ends by KO, TKO as a parlay piece.
What was the difference in those lines?
Monstrous. It was on Bet Rivers. Don't know if anyone has that available in their area. We do have it in New York, New Jersey, but it was like minus 600, doesn't go to a decision, ends by KO, minus 340 or something. Wow. Yeah, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no-brainer. I am on a side. First, let me just say, if they had to die, I'm glad heavyweight overs died before this week, because I did not.
It's a tough one to get around to.
Did not love looking at the two heavyweight fights on this and being like, all right, let's clock the over on them. Fortunately, I'm not in on this. Look, you're right. We broke this down, you know, however many weeks ago that was at UFC Jacksonville. And I believe at that time I took Austin Lane. However, the math has changed, Connor, because part of taking Austin Lane was that he was a former Jacksonville Jaguar. It was basically a homecoming fight for him. Not technically, basically a home. So we took it. Now you got Justin Taffa, who, look, Justin Taffa, as I said at the top of things, he is not – no, Justin Taffa is Australian, so basically a homecoming fight for him. We're golden. You got to take the change.
Wow.
I'm taking Taffa, but because the line even grew a little bit bigger on Taffa, didn't like that. I liked everything you said in your breakdown, and we decided to go for the pure spike. This is Justin Taffa, KO, round one prop bet at the just – brilliant bet of plus 170.
Ooh, plus 170 exacta and the round. Love that. Love that. I have to say, just brilliant work by you. Brilliant research to have the wherewithal to pivot, knowing that Taffa was fighting in Jacksonville.
Homecoming. It makes all the difference.
I mean, it was the easiest bet on earth. Now they flip the script completely and they head to Taffa's hometown. I mean, this is just like...
Dude, it's... NFL season's about to kick off. You know, home games, the line swings by 6 points.
Oh, yeah.
This is the line has swung. We are fully on Taffa here.
Great work.
If you think I'm betting against an Australian on this card, you got another thing coming, guys.
Did I bet against a single Australian? I may have bet against. Yeah, bet against one.
Think of who you bet against. I did not. So, interesting. Okay, let's figure this out then.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get right into it. It's the very next fight, main card, Tyson Pedro taking on the pleasure man, Anton Turkali, baby.
I'm so disappointed in you.
The Swedish man returns to the octagon after facing two defeats right now. Basically, pick them. Whoever you want in this one, go ahead and take a stab at him because you're getting coin flip odds on this one. Minus 105, Tyson Pedro. Minus 115, Anton Turkali. I take it you're on Pedro.
I am. And not just me, Connor. The machines are on Tyson
Pedro. Whoa. You left this one to the bots.
I did. It was, you know, it's a coin flip fight. And those are the fights I prefer to choose, ChatGPT. You know, I won't lie. My heart wanted it to be Pedro, but looking at it, there are a lot of reasons to think it's Turkali who's going to get it done. So let me just give you the brief rundown on what ChatGPT says.
Please.
Midway through the first round, Pedro found his opening, unleashed a powerful combination that backs Turkali against the cage. Sensing danger, Turkali shoots for a takedown. Pedro sprawls as a testament to his improved takedown defense and grappling. He seizes the opportunity, gets a front headlock, and transitions to the back where he gets a RNC first round submission win for Tyson Pedro. And so on the basis of that one, we've taken Tyson Pedro. I got him at even money, plus 100. I'm also taking Tyson Pedro by round one sub, just a little sprinkle at plus 800 just to see if that hits. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I have a parlay that no one should tail me on. Look, I don't know if you... I don't know what you're up to in the podcasting realm, but Tyson Pedro co-hosts a podcast with Ty Tuivasa. You think I'm not going to pick the half-cast podcast parlay?
Wow.
There's not a world in which I'm not going to bet the half-cast podcast parlay. It rolls right off the tongue, Connor.
The half-cast podcast parlay.
Plus 500.
We have three bets down on Tyson Pedro.
Yeah,
The exposure is on the man that just got defeated by Modestus Bukauskas.
As I said at the very beginning of this show, Connor, I see a world where I lose money this week.
Listen, respect to you, man. I mean, I went the other way. not heavy. I can promise you it's not heavy, but I mean, I'm rocking with the Pleasure Man, dude. I mean, if you look at his, listen, I know he's 0-2. Everyone knows that he's 0-2. If you're a fan of the UFC, you know the Pleasure Man, you know that he's 0-2. But the first two matchups, he got Jailton Almeida, who, I mean, I don't need to go into Jailton Almeida. I mean, that is my guy of all guys. That's a tough matchup. And then Petrino is not easy either, man. Undefeated as well. Like, I want to say he's fought two badass Brazilians with a combined record of like 28-2. They're the absolute killers. Survived the Petrino fight. Had a couple of good moments in that one. Listen, don't expect
he's
any
sort undefeated of, against, you know, non-Brazilians, which
that's,
is...
That's a good point. That is a very good point by you. Yeah, I mean, don't expect, like, you know, a technical warfare from this one. Don't expect, like, you know, if Turkali loses by the exact way that you just laid it out, I would in no way be surprised. This fight is like, whatever side you're on, just get ready for it to be hilarious and don't expect to get your money back. Like, there's a chance that this fight just gets absolutely outrageous. If we're going to, like, things that I actually do like, I like the cardio advantage for Turkali. If he can survive the first round, which I'm going to say that he can after making it through 15 minutes with Petrino, who has 7 wins by finish out of his 9, I think he can survive the first round with Pedro. And then once we get there, like, he can push the pace. He can really light this thing up. But, yeah. In terms of expectations of getting money back on this one, I mean, I'm just supporting the Pleasure Man to support the Pleasure Man. It's just that easy. This might be my last shot at it. If he loses this one, he might be out of the UFC. This might be my last shot at it. So get in while the getting's good.
If he loses this one, he very likely is out of the UFC. I'll say, had I done enough research, I didn't. You did more. Had I thought about the Ladies Night Pleasure Man, we could have done that parlay instead. Because that's a pretty good parlay as well.
I mean, yeah. I'm on both of them, though. I will say that. I mean, we might as well be the Magic Mike parlay, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's a great one. I will be on both of them, though. So you know who I'm supporting come Saturday evening.
Always. Well, let's talk about that fight.
Let's jump into the prelims, man. Light heavyweight bout. Carlos Olberg taking on Da Eun-Jung. Right now, you can have Carlos Olberg for -270, Da Eun-Jung coming back at +220. So last week I talked about it. I was like, man, it's kind of surprising to see him as that big of a favorite. And then I Then I dove into the tape. And like, for some reason, my mind is like blocked out every one of Da Eun-Jung's fights except for the Kennedy Inzichukwu fight. I don't know why. I just always go back to that in my head. I remember exactly where I was. I was on Kennedy. I lost first round knockout. I was like, man, this Da Eun-Jung guy is tough. Big knockout power. I mean, how powerful is he if Kennedy ate a million of Olberg's shots and then that's all it took him to get Kennedy out of there? I mean, he must just be a Superman. Then I go back and watch the Justin Jacoby fight, first round knockout. And then go back and you watch the most recent performance, and that took me back for real. The Devin Clark performance for Da Eun-Jung was certainly not anything to write home about. And then on the flip side, Carlos Olberg, I mean, you can doubt him all you want, but like, he has been looking very good these last few fights. If they stay and stand, which I'm inclined to believe that they're going to. The only time Da Eun-Jung has really gone for takedowns was that William Knight fight. I believe he has 9 UFC takedowns, 8 of them coming in that William Knight fight. I imagine they're going to stand and bang, and I have to favor Carlos Olberg here to get it done. I think Ladies Knight gets his hand raised.
I agree wholeheartedly. I, like you, kind of thought this line looked a little large. I think part of me just awkwardly conflates Carlos Olberg and Blood Diamond as the same fighter, and they're not.
It's just like, yeah, like kind of like the CBK guy that it's just like, oh, or the CKB
other,
guy.
Yeah,
like,
the
oh,
other
just,
CKB guy who kickboxes, but one of them's really bad. And oh, one yeah, of them is
like, actually pretty good. And like, had he not completely blown his load in the Kennedy fight, like, we're talking about an undefeated fighter who's 6-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the Kennedy fight, MMA math does say Don Jung's going to win this, but
that is true.
The other thing, the Dustin Jacoby fight for Don Jung was like, oh yeah, look, like Jacoby just kind of killed you. Like he's just was a better kickboxer and blew his doors off. I think Carlos Olberg's better kickboxer. Didn't like the price, so I took Olberg by KO -140.
Ooh. I mean, if he's going to get it done, it's likely going to be by knockout.
Really likely that it's by knockout.
Three straight first round knockouts for bro. Like he, I mean, the Negomariano one too. Like,
yeah,
Nikolai Negomariano doesn't really get knocked out. I.e., he's only ever been knocked out by Carlos Olberg. So, dude has got power. He's fast. He's fighting at home. I like this matchup for him. If you're on Don Jung, I mean, this is definitely the buy low spot for sure, especially after that Devin Clark fight. That one gave me PTSD. I remember I think I had Don Jung in a parlay in that one, and it was just like dead from the second he got out there. I was just like, sheesh. Kind of feel like he needs to wrestle to win this one.
Yeah, very much so.
We'll see if he does it.
I think at this standing, he is in a very precarious position.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We will see if he does it. Let's keep it rolling. Featherweight bout. Jack Jenkins taking on Chepe Mariscal. Right now you can have Jack Jenkins -205. Jose Mariscal, Chepe Mariscal coming back at +170. You said you're not betting against any Australians. What do we got in this one?
I have nothing. This is the first fight of the evening. I have nothing on. I only have two more bets on the card, and then one bet that I think wisely talked myself out of. So I got nothing on this one, and I won't pretend like I dove into Chepe Mariscal to check the tape. I know he's got the Trevor Peak win, but that's the extent of what I know about this young man, and thus I did not feel compelled to bet this fight.
Yeah, I mean, the Trevor Peak win was wildly impressive to step in like that. You know, showed great toughness in that one. But, man, I just feel like these are just two Oppo Taco matchups. Like, I mean, Trevor Peak is just wild, just going to be crazy when he gets in there. I feel like Jack Jenkins is much more technical. We'll use the leg kicks. We'll be patient in the striking. And I also think that he can mix in the wrestling. I know we saw Mariscal do it against Trevor Peak. But, I mean, I think Jack Jenkins can go to the wrestling here. I did watch some tape back in the Sean Soriano fight, Mariscal got laid on for a decent amount of that one. Jack Jenkins fighting at home. Think he's going to need to make some adjustments after the Jamal Emmers fight. Obviously, a contested decision in that one, but he's still young, and I think he gets his hand raised here. I just took him as a single, -185. If Mariscal makes me pay twice, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's sounds like a great breakdown.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Lightweight bout. Jamie Mullarkey taking on John McDessie. And right now you can have Jamie Mullarkey for -265. McDessie coming back at +215. How about this one? Any action for you here, Jed?
I am on this fight. And as I stated, not betting it against any of these dudes. Give me one of them. Why would I do it? Not betting Mullarkey straight. Breakdown here for me is pretty simple. I do think McDessie has been sort of an underrated journeyman, if that's fine. Like, I don't really know how, if that makes sense, but just a dude who's always, always very durable, always in there. Mullarkey coming off the perplexing performance against Muhammad Naimov, getting just gassed up like that after beating the hell out of Francisco Prado, who looks like he might have a little juice to him. So, all that being said, still taking him. Still, he's a much bigger dude than McDessie, which is a huge, huge benefit for him. I think he can just mix the martial arts a little bit better than John McDessie at this point in his career. The hometown can give him a little extra juice. But like I said, McDessie, pretty good, pretty durable. Only been finished three times, and All three of those were by dudes who are better finishers than Jamie Mullarkey is. So I'm taking Mullarkey by decision at plus 110.
I like that, man. I mean, Jamie Mullarkey is just Jekyll and Hyde, dude. Like some fights, the Devontae Smith fight, dog.
Can just look amazing.
Just like fought through it, comes back in the second round, gets the finish. I was on him there, like plus 130. I was like, I love this guy. Then, like, he fights Naimov, and, like, he's looking great until he ain't, until he is just put out, man. I mean, he really is just, like, you're not entirely sure the guy you're going to get in there. And it is a little bit worrisome that it was 3 months ago that he got blasted in that one. But I am with you. I played him on Saturday, and the line was much more favorable. I mean, I still think he gets it done, though. Nine-year age differential for Mullarkey. He's going to have
like
six
a weight
of
class
reach,
of size differential.
Four inches of height. I know Magdessi has dealt with bigger fighters. I mean, Ignacio Bahamondes, I know he got the dub there, but yeah, I mean, I just feel like Mullarkey bounces back. I think he uses the physical advantages to get this one done in front of the home crowd. And I likely think it does come by way of decision as well.
Yeah, I think that he's going to get enough takedowns, just kind of use that physicality.
And there is also the argument, you know, if you don't trust Mullarkey's chin, which I can completely understand that. Magdessi doesn't have any knockouts since 2015.
It's been a long time. That's the other part that gives me some level of confidence here. So, you can't feel super confident on Mullarkey just because he is so mercurial. But
and there's a world where we're sweating this heavy come like,
oh yeah.
It's one of those ones where there's 2.5 minutes left in the third round and they're like, anybody's fight. Someone's got to do something big here. And and you're just like holding on by the seat of your pants and you're like, oh shit, what are we going to get here?
Yeah. So we'll see. But Mullarkey by decision plus 110.
All right. Let's keep it rolling to a lightweight bout. Nasrat Haqparast taking on Landon Quinones. Brilliant matchmaking here from the UFC. Haqparast minus 470, Quinones plus 360. So I don't know how much Tough you watched. I don't know if you
watched the one episode that I was
this
on.
This was the one episode.
This one.
Oh, okay.
I watched the one episode you were not able to be there for.
Obviously, I watched every single episode. I was Don in the Blue tank top every single week. Who else Don the Blue tank top? Landon Quinones. He took on Jason Knight in the very first round, got subbed in the very first minute of that fight. Jason Knight.
Is that good?
Jason Knight, not even the eventual winner, not even eventual finalist. I mean, not a great look for Landon Quinones, but it earned him a UFC contract. He's now fighting the big dogs. Obviously, this one on short notice for him. And Nasrat was supposed to fight last week. So now he's got to go across the world on like 2.5 weeks notice and fight a dude who is essentially his same age, but he's got 10 UFC fights under his belt. I get give Nasrat a fight, but I just am perplexed by him getting a UFC contract and this matchmaking here. I just feel like Nasrat is going to have him beat pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. So this is the final leg in my three.
Oh, do it to me. Izzy, Manel, and Nasrat?
Yeah.
I got it too. That's just the chalk donkey square. Just like Vegas is like, oh yeah, that's a loser. Go ahead. They're just like rubbing their hands together because I'm on that too.
Yeah. Look, it didn't take a genius to put that one together. They're just, here are the three, I think the three biggest favorites on the card.
You know what I did? I think I just lied to you. I think I just lied to you. I have Manel Kopp and Izzy in a parlay, and then I have Nasrat, Adesanya, and Raul Rosas to next week. I'm sorry. They're all parlay pieces, though, so if one loses, I'm dead anyway.
It all makes sense. You know, it's all interchangeable. But yeah, Quinones, if you're getting tapped by Jason Knight in the Tough House, I don't think you're going to beat Nasrat Haqparast, who's like, you know, top 30 lightweight in the world. He's only lost to like very good fighters. So straightforward here. I think Nasrat has a good day. Honestly, wish that we had swapped these two matchups. I know Haqparast and Mullarkey had been previously booked against each other and that fell apart. think that that would be a fight I'd be a lot more interested in would be Malarkey, Hawk, Prost, and McDessey, Canones. But
the interest here for me is same thing as Felipe Dos Santos. If Quiñones pulls it off, it's an insane story.
Yeah, true. If he gets it done, then can't win tough, but beats a top 30 dude in the weight
can't
class.
Make it to the second minute of the first round of tough, but beats a top 30 lightweight. I mean, that would be incredible on short notice across the world.
We would need to pull in the wonderful AK Lee tough historian to check this out. I'm sure it's not the fastest anyone has been eliminated from tough, but it's got to be on the short list. I mean, a first minute of the first fight loss. Not many people in the history of tough have lost that show quicker.
Yeah, it's not great, but tall task ahead of him. But man, you talk about opportunities. It's knocking at the door for Landon Quiñones, because if he pulls this off, life-changing type stuff. Let's keep it rolling. Welterweight bout. Blood Diamond taking on Chuck Buffalo, Charlie Radke.
Right now, life-changing fight right here.
You can get Radke, minus 310. Blood Diamond coming back, plus 250. I don't really have much interest in betting this one. I mean, Chuck Buffalo, like, should probably win. He should probably just go for takedowns and go for a submission, but watching his previous fights, like, he doesn't go for a ton of takedowns. I mean, if it stays standing for like 10 minutes, like, Blood Diamond is incredibly live. But I have no trust in either of these fighters at their current price tags. So I'm just going to stay away.
I talked myself out of betting this one. Because I want to be clear, I did not do any research into Chuck Buffalo. I just don't like the vibes. And I was like, Blood Diamond plus 280, and I don't like the vibes. Could talk myself into it. I was like, that'd be very dumb. I should not do the very, very dumb thing. I've done a lot of dumb things already. If Blood Diamond comes out here and win, and I'm not holding a plus 280 ticket, I'll be sad. But yeah.
I saw Blood Diamond by knockout at like plus 450. I really, really considered it. Never got around to it, though. Because there's just a world where he just gets taken down from the jump, and it's just like a no-nonsense, just nothing fight, and Chuck Buffalo gets sandwiched. Do have to say, nickname battle, this is up there. Blood Diamond versus Chuck Buffalo, that's something you tell the grandkids about.
It's a very, very good nickname battle. But yeah, like you astutely pointed out, the problem is he's not very good, Happy. So I can't bet Blood Diamond.
Solid striker. Like, he's had some good striking moments in the Orion Sose fight, but there's just no guarantee that it's going to be a striking battle. This is mixed martial arts. So just a pass for me. Next up, featherweight bout, Shane Young taking on Gabriel Miranda right now. Shane Young minus 166. Gabriel Miranda coming back plus 140. So another one, like, just kind of choose your battle here. Do you want to trust the guy who's getting close to minus 200, who is on a 3-fight losing streak, who arguably hasn't won a round since 2019? Or do you want to trust the guy who's essentially fought nobody and his win condition is almost exclusively submission? I decided I don't want to trust either of them with my dollar bills. So I just passed on this one. Do you have any action here?
I do not, which brings us to the final fight. The first fight of the evening.
And that's a welterweight bout. Kevin Gisset taking on Kiefer Crosby right now.
Gisset French? Is he actually French?
Yes, I believe he is French, but he trains
out of...
But he's
a CKB guy.
CKB, okay. Correct.
So we just did Paris. Why are we not?
Okay. That's what a lot of people
CKB
say.
CKB guy, got it.
But it is Kevin Gisset, minus 155. Kiefer Crosby taking on the plus 130 price tag. Kind of feel like Gisset gets it done. Don't have a ton of confidence in that. He's pretty low volume. Like, he's had a couple 5-rounders on the regional scene that ended in split decisions just because there was, like, sort of a lack of action from the Gisset side. But then, like, Kiefer Crosby, like, how into this game is he? Like, he was in Bellator for a minute. Then, like, his most recent fight was in Kingpin, the boxing organization.
He beat Aaron Chalmers.
Yeah, he beat Aaron Chalmers and Kingpin. And then the win before that was against, like, a washed Alex Oliveira. Like, Alex Oliveira looked like he just didn't even want to know part of that. So, yeah, again, dude, like, these...
Oh, my. This has to be pre-you. His win before that is Brian Lonjo. Oh, my God. In case it wasn't clear, I knew I wasn't going to bet this, so I didn't look at either of these dudes in the slightest. Man, Brian Lonjo, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Since July of 2022, when he took on Kiefer Crosby at Cinturon Fight Championship?
No, Brian Lonjo was like a pride jobber.
He's like 6-13-3.
Yeah, he was like a jobber in rings, like super deep cut. And this dude beat him in the year of our Lord, 2022.
He retired Brian Lonjo at the ripe age of 46.
Dude, I might have to bet against Kiefer Crosby just on principle. Two of his last three fights are Aaron Chalmers and Brian Lonjo. Oh my God.
Don't forget, like, when he fought Cowboy Oliveira, like, Oliveira was done with his career.
Oh God, what are the odds? I'm going to bet this just for the gags. Kevin Gisset, you're on the team, buddy.
minus 155, Kevin Gisset.
Bet. I don't have any regrets about what I'm about to do right now. I can't believe I haven't thought of Brian Lonjo in 10 years. This is incredible.
Yeah, honestly, if you look at it, like, he really hasn't fought much of anybody.
No shit.
I mean, it's slim pickings for Big Dog. It is not great. But, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust Gisset. I'm just staying away from the first three fights.
Look, that's just way smarter, but this is way funnier.
This is a throw it on the side TV and wake me up when Nasrat's making the walk, and then we can really get going.
Shouts to Big Daddy. Love what you're doing with your career, Big Daddy. I'm a huge supporter, but I'll be taking Gisset on principle.
Big Daddy, great nickname.
Great nickname.
Shout out to Kevin Gisset. So that's that. UFC 293. In the books. 12 fights. Nice and tight. Really wish this was going to be like an early start time.
It would have been. Look, if this was an early start time, this would earn a coveted Michulin star. Because it's not, it doesn't earn any stars. It's a zero-star card. But, you know, we might have some fun. And then next week, Connor, round two.
Are you coming for revenge or what? Valentina Shevchenko, like a minus 215 favorite to Alexa Grasso.
That's a much better price than I got her at last time.
You're
much
not wrong.
Better price.
You're not wrong.
Your boy.
There's a couple bets that I'm gonna have to take. I'm already on them. Jack Della Maddalena, underdog odds. Jasmine Jazadavicius, underdog odds. Yeah.
I mean, that's the extent of the fights that matter. Kopilov for him was probably fun.
Yeah, I have to bet against Tracy Cortez. Sad day for me.
I guess. All right, we'll get to that next week. That's for next week.
This
week is all about Australia, baby.
There is like a nice Mexican parlay that you could cook up for next week, obviously.
Probably going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like a Mexican favorite parlay. We'll have some fun, but that is for next week. UFC 293, Sydney. That was a terrible attempt at an Australian accent. Every time I try accents, as soon as it leaves my mouth, I'm like, what?
Regret.
Why did I do that? I'm such a bug herb. Anyway, next week, UFC, what are they calling it?
Noche.
UFC Noche. Noche UFC. Let's go. Talk to you then.
Good day, mate. Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.